The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This is a continuation of the shiurim on Parashas Bereishis. Actually, this is the fourth shiur of this series. And we will begin with the fourth day. In Bereishis Aleph, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayemer Elokim Yehi Me'ayris B'riki HaShemayim. And Hashem said, let there be lights in the sky of the heaven. Lahavdil Bein Hayom Ubein HaLoilo. In order to distinguish between day and night. Vayela'esis L'ma'adim V'liyomim L'shonim. And it shall be for signs, it shall be for the seasons, for the Mtevim, for the days, the years. And these lights should be there to give light to the earth. And so it was. And this is speaking on the fourth day. Now we have a question here, because the first day it states, Vayem Elokim Yehi Or. Let there be light. Vayehi Or, and there was light. Vayara Elokim Es Or Ki Tov. And Hashem saw that the light was good. Vayavdil Elokim Bein Or Ubein Chashech, and He separated between the light and the darkness. So the light was created on the first day. So why is it mentioned here on the fourth day? The Gemara in Chagiga and the Yud Beis states as follows: Ketanoi, there are two opinions amongst the rabbis of the Mishnah. Or Shebora Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Yom Rishon. The light which Hashem created on the first day, Odom Seifel Mabit Bei Misefa Elamat Seifa. It was such a perfect light, and such a beautiful light, that the person was able to see from one end of the world to the other with it. Dibrei Reb Yaakov. And this is how Reb Yaakov holds, and this is also how... this is Reb Yaakov and the Blazer. And Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw that there was going to be a Dor HaMabul, a generation of the flood, a very wicked generation, Ubedor HaFloga, and a generation that would come, and the generation in which they all went together to stand up against the Almighty, Berosh Maaseh Mikul Kolim, Omad Ugnozeh. So he stood up, and he took the light, and he concealed it. Shenemar vayimona merishoim orom. As it states, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the light away from the evil. Ulami gonzu. And who did he conceal it for? The tzaddikim lased lovei. He concealed it for the righteous in the world to come. Shenemar vayara lehikim eso or kitev. That Hashem saw the light which was good. So according to this opinion, this that it states on the first day, Vayehi Or, let there be light, and Hashem saw that it was good, this was referring to a light which was so good that it was perfect. Vayavdil Elokim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated this light between this light and the darkness. In other words, He took this light and He concealed it for the tzaddikim, for the righteous in the world to come. On the fourth day, what we're learning now, where it states Shehima Eris Pirki Hashemayim, let there be lights in the heaven, this is referring to the lights which we have. So this is one opinion amongst the Tanoim, amongst the rabbis of the Mishnah, that we are speaking about two different lights. The light which was created on the first day, of which Hashem said was Kitov, was so good that Vayavdil, that He separated it and He concealed it for the world to come, when He saw that the people were going to be evil. And the lights which were created on the fourth day, so that's the lights that we have. And the Gemara brings a second opinion, and that's of the Chachomim. And the Chachomim state the Chachomim Aimrim Hein Hein Ma'erish Nivr B'Yem Rishon. Now, we're not speaking of two lights. It's all the same light. V'lei nitlu ad yom revi. and it was hung in the sky on the fourth day. This means that this, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on the first day, this was the sun and the moon, the lights that we have. But this that it says on the fourth day, that Hashem said, let there be Ma'oros, Birkei HaShemayim in the heavens, this is when he took this light and he put it in the heavens. And he put it in place. And this is, like we said in the previous shurim, Rashi brings it here, that Bereishis Bore Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves HaOretz, that right in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth, it means everything. Kol Toldu Shemayim V'Toldu HaOretz. Everything that had to do with the heavens and everything that had to do with the earth. So therefore, on the first day he created the light, and on the fourth day it was concealed. Excuse me. And on the fourth day it was placed in the Elokim Es HaShemayim, it was placed in the heavens. So we're speaking of the same lights. However, even according to the Chachomim, this is in accordance to the way the Gorai explains, even according to the Chachomim, they also agree that the light was concealed. They do not disagree with that. But, as it states in the Medrash, that the light which Hashem created in the beginning, a great portion of that was concealed. So we're speaking of the same lights. The light which Hashem created on the first day is the lights that we have. But a great portion of that light was concealed for the world to come. How much? The Medrash said only 1/7 remained. 6/7 was concealed and 1/7 remained. So the dispute in the Gemara is whether the light which was created on the first day and was concealed, was that basically the same lights that we have, or was that a different light? According to the Blazon of Yaakov, it was a different light. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made other lights on the fourth day, which are the lights which we have. According to the Chachomim, it was the same light, all of the lights he created on the first day. Except a portion of that, a large portion, was concealed, and a small portion remained. 6/7 were concealed, and 1/7 remained. It's interesting that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it was so perfect, and he saw it was too good for the world because of the nations, the generations that would be chayter, that would sin, and therefore he concealed it. The question is, so why was it created then? So the answer is, it was created because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created during the Sheish Yemei Bereishis, during the days of creation, he created even that which was going to be used in the next world. Even that light, whether it's speaking about a different light altogether or a portion of the light which we have, since it was so perfect and it was going to be too good for this world, it was still created because the Maaseh Bereishis didn't only encompass what was needed here, but even encompassed what was created for later on. This also we mentioned in the past. The fact is, and the Gorai brings, that even the Medrash says, even Olam Haba, even world to come, was also created during these 6 days. Then Rashi tells us, on this Pasuk, which on the fourth day, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated now between day and night, Mishendignazu or Horishon. Once that light was concealed, then there was a separation of day and night. Avol b'shiva shemei breishis shimshu ha'or v'acheshech harishayinim shneihem yachad bein b'yein bein b'layla. During the first 7 days, there was no great distinction between day and night. Because this that we say that the Almighty concealed this light, whether it was all of this light or whether it was a portion of this light, this was only after the 7 days of Bereishis. But during the 7 days, he did not conceal it yet. If he didn't conceal it, so the light was of the sun was so great that at night also one could see. even though at night it was not as light as it was during the day, but one was able to see. So therefore, this that it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let there be lights, and these lights will distinguish between day and night. This means during the day it will be light and during the night it will be dark. This was only after the Shemesh Yemei Bereishis. But during the first 7 days, the light, the original light, prevailed. And therefore it was light both during day and during night. Now why did it prevail during the whole 7 days? It states that right away HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to conceal it. The explanation to this is because he concealed it because he saw that it was too good for this world. Why was it too good for this world? Because man was going to be evil. But he would not conceal it until man committed a chet. Prophecy and vision, he saw that it was too good for this world because man was going to be evil. But until man sinned, he did not conceal it. So therefore, until the first sin, it still prevailed, it still ruled in the world. When was the first sin? The first sin was the day that Adam was created. Adam was created on the sixth day on Friday, so the first sin was Friday. So it should have been concealed right then. There, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to conceal it. The Kovat Shabbos. That since it gave light during the entire 6 days, it would not be honor for Shabbos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to conceal it right Erev Shabbos. So he waited till Meitzoy Shabbos. When Shabbos was out, that's when he concealed it. This is why when we make Havdolah on Meitzoy Shabbos, we use an ash, we use fire. We use fire because this, as a remembrance, that this was the first time that Adam HaRishon, the first man, made fire. Why did he make fire on Meitzoy Shabbos the first time? Because this was the first time that he experienced such a darkness. Because on Friday night, which was his first night, it was still light, because that light was still there. And that light was concealed only on Saturday night. And he experienced a darkness. So he took some stones, and he made fire. And Lezecher, as a remembrance of the fire, that Adam HaRishon, that the first man made, on Meitzoy Shabbos, that's why we used fire for Havdolah. Incidentally, the Gemara also brings that this light was a perfect light where it only did good for people. Today, the sun that we have is a wonderful sun. It's the source of energy. It's a source of energy. It's a source of life in the physical world. But you have to be very careful with the sun because it can also burn a person. If the person is in the sun too long, he gets a sunburn. If he walks in the sun too long, he can get, heaven forbid, sunstroke. The sun, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created in the beginning before it was concealed, this was a perfect light. And it did good only for the people and no harm whatsoever. So this is a few notes on the fourth day in regards to the lights. Now we'll go to the fifth day. The fifth day it states, Vayim Elokim Yishutzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. Let the water give forth a nefesh chaya. A nefesh chaya, Rashi tells us, a nefesh yesh bo chius, something that's alive. Ve'of ye'ofev al oretz al peneiru ki ashomoyim. And let there come forth birds that will fly above the earth in the sky. This is the first point in creation that we have a nefesh chaya, something which is alive. Till now we had a daimim. A daimim is something which is not alive, something which is inanimate. And then we had the tzemeach. The earth is a daimim. Then we had a tzemeach. On the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tatshe ha'oretz. Let the earth give forth a vegetation, a garment of vegetation. So that's a tzemeach, something, a plant life which grows. But it's here on the fifth day that we have the first nefesh chaya, the first living, something which is alive, to be created. And what was created first? First was created, the first nefesh which was created were the fish. And the second were the birds. Now, from here it seems that the birds were created from the water. Because it states, Yishutsu Amayim Sheretz Nefesh Chayu, Ve'of Ye'of Efalo Oretz. Let from the water come out the Sheretz Nefesh Chayu, which are the fish, and the birds, which will fly over the earth. Later on, in Bereishis Beis, Pasuk Yutes, it states, Vayitzra Hashem Elokim Min Ha'adama, Hashem created from the earth kol chayes hasode, veis kol eif hashamayim. All of the animals of the field and all of the birds of the heaven. So there we see that the birds are coming from the earth. Min ha'adama, from the earth. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Chulin, and at the beginning of the second parak in Chof Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says from one pasuk we see Vayomer Elokim Yishutsu Amayim, that the birds were created from the water. Second pasuk we see Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Min Ha'adama, that they were created from the earth. Amalei, this is to teach us Min Harokak Nivru, that they were created from the rokak. The rokak is a combination of earth and water. They were created from a combination of earth and water, in other words, from mud. So the first nefesh to be created were the fish, and that came from the water. The second nefesh to be created was a bird. The bird came from the mud. But notice the third nefesh to be created, and that is in the next day. In the next day, in the sixth day, so there we learn that the what was created also was the behemoth and the remes and chayso orets, the animals, the wild animals, and the remes, that's the small creeping animals of the earth. So we see that they were created in this order, and we'll explain in a minute why they were created in that order. Then it states, in the fifth day, by Vorech Hashem Elokim Lemor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him, saying, Pruru vu, umilu es ha-mayim b'yamim v'ayif yireh v'oretz. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill up the waters, the seas, and let the birds multiply over the land. This is also the first time that we find a brocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a brocha to his creations. Rashi brings, why did they need a brocha? Lefishe mechasri meson, v'tzodin mehem. Because people hunt them. The fishermen fish for the fish, and the hunters hunt for the birds. Be'echli meson, and they eat them. So hutzrecha lebrocha. Therefore, it necessitated a blessing, a brocha, in order that they will be able to have continuity. Later on in the Torah we find that fish had a special brocha. When Yaakov came at the end of Sefer Bereishis, when Yaakov came to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, he gave them a brocha that they should multiply like fish. Fish had this brocha to multiply, and this had a special force in it. The Gemara says because they're mechusim min ha'ayin, because they are concealed from the eye. It states that brocha is found by something which is mechusa min ha'ayin, something which is concealed. Ein brocha metzuya ala adova shemechusa min ha'ayin. If a person wants brocha, then it's best that he does not publicize too much what he does, see? But he conceals it. Brocha is found always by something which is concealed. And dogim, the fish, are always concealed. Because this is something she'ena ayin shelebo, the eye cannot see it. And this is why we find that amongst all of the species, the fish are the most abundant. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a brocha, and that brocha had extra force because they're mechusim min ha'ayin. Incidentally, this is why it's brought. It states that in the northern areas of the world, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu created wealth, gold and so forth. And north is called Sofun. And Sofun means it's concealed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he created the north side of the world to be concealed. And since it's concealed, there is more brocha there. It's interesting to note that in our generations, we are faced today with the major problems of ecology. Ecology and destruction of the environment. It's not that our generation is the generation that's solely responsible. It's just that what's happening now is that what the previous generations have destructed is coming to the fore now. And there's a world shortage of fish. This is why the price of fish has skyrocketed in the last decade. There's a world shortage of animals. One of the major reasons also why the price of beef is so high, because there's a shortage. You always hear, and not only is there a world shortage, the same thing with birds, but many, many species. You always hear programs which are launched to save species from becoming totally extinct. So not only is there a shortage, but actual species have become wiped out. So it's something to think about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his brocha. He gave his brocha piru revu. Let them be multiplied. Let them be plentiful. Umilu es hamayim. Let them fill up the waters and the seas. And they have this special additional brocha because ein ha'ayin shelet lehem. Because they're mechusim min ha'ayin. And therefore they're in abundance in the millions. They are of yireh ba'oretz. And the birds should multiply in the earth. And still man, in his thoughtlessness and in his greed, have been successful in destroying the world. Many times you read articles how the world, the earth, cannot sustain its life. It's all type of plans that the earth is becoming overpopulated and there's not enough water for the people. Serious water crisis in the world. There's not enough crops in the field. There's not enough natural resources in the field. There's not in the world. There's not enough timber, so forth and so on. Therefore, we have to do something about minimizing the population of the world. It's growing too fast. This is a great Lashon Hara. It's a great slander on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the earth. He created plenty. He created enough for everyone. And there would be no need to depopulate any area. It's a funny thing, in these same essays that they write about overpopulation, at the same time, a little later, they'll tell you why the resources are becoming eroded. They became eroded because of the greed of man. That there are areas which have become turned from great forests into deserts. And right there they write. It was because of the greed of previous generations. They cut and cut and cut, whatever they did. It was soil erosion. They only took out. And the same thing with all of the natural resources. Or war. War is probably your greatest destroying factor of the environment. Or modern industry that have contaminated water resources. So we must not say Lashon Hara on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We must not say that the earth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created cannot sustain life. It can sustain all of the life that we can put on the earth. It can't sustain our greed. This is what it cannot sustain. If we go and destroy the earth, then there's going to be a problem of what it can sustain. But this shows you how far from two points here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a light which was perfect. And he saw, no, it's not for this world. Has to be set aside for the tzaddikim. But even the light that was not perfect, even when it came to the fish and it came to the birds, Man also has destroyed that. Now we'll go to the next day. The next day is the sixth day. Vayem Elekim. Teitzei Oretz Nefesh Chaya Lemino. Let the earth bring forth a Nefesh Chaya. Now here again we have another Nefesh Chaya. A living life. And let it come from the earth now. The fifth day we had, let the water bring forth a Nefesh Chaya. Now we have, let the earth bring forth a Nefesh Chaya. And Rashi explains, like we brought in the first year, what does it mean? Teitzei Oretz, let the earth bring forth. So Rashi says, Hu shepirashti, shehakol nivra miyem rishit v'lehutzrocha elela hitzion. This is what I explained before, Rashi says. Everything was created on the first day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Breishis boro, when he said the Breishis, everything was created. Now it just had to be brought out. Let the earth bring it out. It was there potentially. Let there be behema. That's a domesticated animal. Veremes. The remes are the small, very small animals which creep. The chaisei. And the chai is the wildlife. Eretz of the earth, leminor. All in accordance to its kind, all in accordance to its species. On the sixth day also, which we'll learn a little later, is Nasa Odom. Man also was created. So we see actually the behema and the chai and the remes, they share the same day of creation with man. The animals of the earth, all of the wildlife, all of the life of the earth, share the same day of creation with man, and that's the sixth day. Now, why do we find in this order? At first, from the water, Nefesh Chaya, the life. Then the life from the earth. And then another Nefesh Chaya, and that was man. Why do we find in this order? The answer to that is that the order of creation was Mimata Lemala, was started from the most primary sources, and it went higher and higher. And that's why we didn't find any Nefesh Chaya until the fifth day. No living life. First we find the Doimim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the earth. The earth is totally inanimate. Then we found a higher level, and that was the Tzemeach. That was Tachia Oretz, the vegetation of the earth. All of the plants, Eitz Pri, all of the trees. Then we found a higher level, and that was the Nefesh Chaya. This was the living beings of animal life. And then we find Nasa Odom, that of man. So this was the order in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and which we'll speak about more in a minute. When it came to the animals, so why first from the water, and then the birds, which was made of a combination of the water and the earth, and then the animals, which were made from the earth itself. So this the Gemara in Chulin tells us. Gemara in Chulin states as follows. It's also on Chof Zayin Amud Beis. Behema shenivreis mina yebosho, an animal which was created from the earth. Hakshor b'shnei simonim. Shchita. When you shecht an animal, so the halach is, the law requires that you shecht two simonim. You have to cut both his, the veshet and the gargeres, both the food pipe and the windpipe. Otherwise, it's not a kosher shchita. Why? Now, on the other hand, we find that on a bird, when you shecht the bird, you only have to shecht one simon. You only have to shecht one of those pipes, either the food pipe or the windpipe. Fish do not require shechita at all. Fish do not require shechita at all. Why is it? So the Gemara says, Dorish Evig Lilo, Behema Shenivreis Mina Yabosho, the animal that was created from the earth. Rashi explains. See, what does it mean that he was created from the earth? Therefore, he's a Bria Chazoko. Therefore, he's stronger. He's a stronger creation. Lefichoch yeshle chiyos bori bechozuk. So, since he's a stronger creation, he needs a stronger act to take his life from him. Therefore, hakshor v'shnei simon. You have to shecht. When you shecht him, it has to be two pipes: the windpipe and the food pipe. Dogim shenivru. Excuse me. Yeah, dogim shenivru min ha'mayim. Fish, which are created from the water. Hekshirim b'leiklum. Then you don't have to shecht them at all. Basefas. All you have to do is catch them, take them out of the water, and then you can eat them. You don't have to shecht them at all. Why? Because the water is a much weaker substance than the earth. So therefore the fish, the life of the fish, are a much weaker type of life than the life that was given to an animal of the earth. Oaf, a bird, shenivra min arakak, but the bird that was created from the combination, he was created both from the water and the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took earth and he mixed it with water and he made it into a mold like mud and he created the birds. So therefore, hachsheira b'simen echot. So his shechita is one simen, either the food pipe or the windpipe. The Maral explains this in various places. Because the oretz is the strongest place of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He didn't create it for the water. He created it for the earth. Because on earth was going to be man. Where does man live? Man lives on earth. The mind, the water, was necessary for the earth. But it wasn't the purpose of the creation. Like we learned before, it states, Yikov ha'mayim b'seiro ha'yebosho. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let the waters had spread all over the world. And he said, let the waters gather up in one place so the earth can be seen. So the place of life, of Iker HaChayim, the place of the main life of the world, is on the earth. Water, that's Eino min ha'yishuv. That's not from the civilized area of the earth, of the world. So therefore something in the water is not considered min ha'metzius. It's not from the heart of the creation, or the heart of reality. It's necessary for the creation, but it's not the heart of reality, the heart of creation. And therefore, that life is a very weak life. So when it comes to the fish, it's sufficient to catch the fish, and then you can eat them. When it comes to the birds, who were made from a combination of the water and the earth, so there you need an act. The Torah required an act to take their life. And that act was shechita. But that shechita was sufficient even with a small shechita. Even with the shechita of one of the windpipes, either the windpipe or the food pipe. But when it comes to taking the life of the animals of the earth, there you needed a stronger shechita, a stronger act. And that required two simonim. So this explains to us why this is the order. First, he created inanimate objects, then objects that grew, then the fish from the water, and then the birds, which were a combination of the water and the earth. And then on the sixth day, he started to create that which lived on the earth itself. Now it's interesting that on the sixth day, he created both man and the animals of the earth. While on the fifth day, he created the fish of the sea and the birds. Because the fish of the sea and the birds, that's already Eino min ha'yishuv. These are not dwellers of the earth. They're dwellers of the sea, or they're dwellers of both the sea and the earth. They're made of both of the sea and the earth. So this is not man's domain. You know, man, this is not where man lives. Sixth day dealt with the earth. And there he created the animals of the earth, and then later on, he comes to man. Now, it states, Vayas Elohim es chayes oros lemino, ves abehema lemino, ves kol remes adom lemineo, vayar Elohim kitov. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu made, therefore, the animals of the earth, the wildlife, and the other animals, and everything that crawled, and he saw it was good. Now, Hashem comes to creating man. Vayim Elohim, and Hashem said, Nase odom, let us make man. We'll make man in our own image, with our own form. Who was he speaking to? Nasu, let us make in our own form. So the Chazal tell us that he was speaking with the Malochim. He was speaking, Hashem was speaking with the angels. And man will rule. He will rule over the fish of the sea, and he will rule over the birds of the heaven. And over the animals, here again we have the three categories. See, he will rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, and he will rule over all of the animals which walk the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in his image, in his image he made him. He created the male and female. And Hashem blessed him. He blessed him and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the land with people. And conquer, rule the land. You shall rule over all of the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and over all of the wildlife which walks on the land. So here we have the creation of man. We do not find explicitly in the Torah anything that was created after man. Immediately afterwards, it states, Hashem saw everything that he made and it was very good. This goes on the whole Bria. He saw everything that he made, it was very good, and it was evening and day on the sixth day. And then it goes to Shabbos. So we do not find anything explicitly in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made after man, which means that man was created last. Now why was this? Man was so important. Why was he created at the very end? Then also, we find a great many things which are very unique about man, which we do not find on any of the other creations. For example, it states, Nase Odom Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu. Let us make man in our own image. This was not by any of the other creations. Also, Rashi brings, Vayivra Lekimas Odom Bitzalmai, that Hashem created man in his image, who Nivra Biyadayim. Hakol nivra b'maimer v'hu nivra b'ridayim shenema v'toshes alai kapecho. In Tehillim there's a pasuk v'toshes alai kapecho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his hand upon me. The whole world was created through the speech of the Almighty. Man was created through the hands of the Almighty. Even though man was given a nefesh chaya, a living life, and animals were given a living life, there is very little analogy, there's very little comparison between the two. Later on we have in Pasuk Zayin, Bereishis Beis Pasuk Zayin, It states, "Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam, Ofer min Adama." HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he formed man, dust from the earth, Vayipach ba'afav nishmas chayim, and he blew in his nostrils a living soul. Vayi Adam lenefesh chaya, and man also became a nefesh chaya. So we have this word nefesh chaya, written by the fish and the birds, and by the animals of the earth, and by man. But it's different. And just one example, that it states Vayitzer, Vayitzer by man, it's written with two yuds. In Pasuk Yutes, Beis Yutes, it states Vayitzer Hashem Elokim min Adama kol chayas hasodeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the animals of the earth. There it states with one yud, Vayitzer. Why by man does it say Vayitzer with two yuds, and Vayitzer by animals only with one yud? Now the word Yotzar should be written with one yud. So this means that Vayotzar, that is written by man, an extra yud was added. Why? So Rashi tells us, Shtei Yetziras, Yetzira Leila Mazevi, Yetzira Detchila Samesim. Aval Bebehema Sheinei Medes Ledin Lei Nichta B'Yetzirose Shtei Yishnei Yudim. When he created animals, this was a nefesh for this world. This was a life for this world. But when he created man, there he gave him a nefesh, he gave him a life, not only for this world, but for the next world also. Because animals and everything else would live and die on this world. Man would live on this world, if he would die on this world, but he would relive in the next world. So when he created man, he had to give him a life which could sustain him both in this world and in the next world. So therefore an extra yud was added. What is the significance of this yud? It has to do with what we spoke about in one of the previous shurim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both worlds, this world with a hay and the next world with a yud. So he created both worlds in man, and therefore two yuds were written in his yitzira. So we see the nefesh chaya is an altogether different nefesh. We also see that man was the only creation that was created both from the earth and from the heavens. In this posuk in Bereshis Beis, posuk Zayin that we read, it states, "Eso Adam ofer min Adama." He will be created from the dust of the earth. Vayipach ba'afav nishmas chayim, and Hashem blew into his nostrils a living soul from above. So man was created both from the above and from lamata, from the earth. We do not find that by any of the other creations. They either were created only from above or only from below, but not from both. Rashi brings this the Chazal, which says as follows. Osu mina tachtainim u mina alyein. Man was created both from above and from below. Guf mina tachtainim u neshama mina alyein. His body was created from the earth, and his soul was created from above. Now he explains. The fisha b'yem rishay nivru shamayim v'oritz. The first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heavens and earth. The heaven is from above, and earth is from below. On the second day, he created the sky. So that was in the heavens. The third day, he said, let the earth be seen. Let the waters move aside, and the earth should be seen. So that was below. The fourth day, he created the lights in the heaven. The fifth day, he said, let the waters give forth living life. So this means that on the first day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both from above and below. And on the second, third, fourth, and the fifth, the next 4 days, 2 days were basically for creations of the earth, and 2 days were creations of the heavens. So in the first 5 days, so there were three major creations in the heavens and three major creations in the earth. So it was even. Now on the sixth day, when Hashem created man, if he would create him only from the heavens or only from the earth, then the creation would be one-sided. It would be out of balance. So therefore, man was created from both. Therefore, husk b'shishi livreish bay me'alyenim b'imtachte. Man was created both from the above and the below. B'imlav yishkinu b'maisa b'reishis. And if not, there would be an imbalance in the creations. So we see another uniqueness, that man was created both from the heavens and the earth. There's a great many uniquenesses in man. Kodesh Baruch Hu created him with his hand, not with his speech. And he created him both from the heavens and the earth. And he created them by Yitzhak with a yud, with a special yud, because he was going to live on this world and in the next world. So we see a great many uniquenesses in man, which we do not find in any of the other creations. So therefore we cannot equate man at all with any of the other creations, be it how great the other creations were, even if we're dealing with the sun. Now, the reason why man was created last is for this reason in itself. Man was the ultimate of creation. The whole world, Shamayim va'aretz, heaven and earth, was created for the sake of man. When you build something, you start first with the foundation. You start first with the more primary foundations, the more primary fundamentals. And you build up to the ultimate. You build up to the ultimate goal. The goal is only reached at the very end. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started creation, and he started to put everything in its proper place, he didn't start with man. He ended with man. Because man is the ultimate creation, the ultimate purpose of all of Hashem's works. This, to the Jew, is a simple concept. To the idolater, to the non-believer, it's a very foreign concept. When I speak of the idolaters, I'm not only speaking of the old-fashioned idolaters that worship the sun or the moon, I'm speaking about the modern idolaters also. For example, you've got your Darwin theories. That man is an animal. That's all he is. He's an animal that happened to progress a little further than the rest of the animals. And so forth and so on. And this is why, immediately after man was created, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? He said as follows, Peru, Urvul, Umilu, Esa, Oretz, Bikifshua. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. Now this also he told the fish. And he told the birds. But he said something else. We keep shuha and conquer the world. He didn't tell the animals to conquer the world. He didn't tell the gorillas to conquer the world. He didn't tell the birds to conquer the world. He told man to conquer the world. And then he said, Redu b'degasa yom v'vayv ha'shamayim. Rule over the fish of the sea, in other words, to the depths of the sea and the heights of the heaven. The depths of the sea and the heights of the heaven is yours. Later on in Pasuk Yutes, Bereishis Beis Pasuk Yutes, it states, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim min ha'adama, kol chayas ha'sodeh, veis kol eif ha'shamayim, vayovei ala odem lira isma yikraleh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the life of the sea and the earth, and he brought it to man to see what names man would give them. Whatever names man would give would be his name. Man is the one who named, Odom HaRishon is the one who named every living creature. Who brought every living creature to man? To the first man. The first man had enormous wisdom. The first man looked into the soul. He looked into the soul, into the nefesh of every living creature. And he determined what his proper name should be. When he looked into the eyes of the lion, he said, you're an Aryeh. This was a Shemer Ale Etzim. In other words, Ayeh is a description of what you are. When he looked into the eyes of the eagle, he said, you're a Nesher. Nesher is a description of what you are. Now, why should man name every living being? You don't find that the fish or the animals or the gorillas named any, because man was the king. And then on this pasuk Vayitzer, they ask the question, what does it mean Vayitzer Hashem Elokim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and v'chol ha'shiyikra le'odem nefesh chai hu shmai, and this will be his name forever. But what does it mean Vayitzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu made? It already states that he made. So therefore Rashi brings another interpretation. Vayitzer comes from the word, this is from the Medrash, kibush, like it states, ki sotsur el ir. When you go to attack a city, it states in Pashas Kisetze, or End of Shoftim, when you go to attack a city and you lay siege around the city, it says Kisotzur aloir. The siege and the attack, the conquering of the city is called Tzotzur. And that's what it means by Yitzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had man conquer every animal. Shekoshen Tachas Yodishal Odom. The Almighty took every animal and every creature, from the largest to the smallest worm, to the largest re'em. Re'em was a creature that was gigantic, or to the dinosaur. He took everyone, the kofshon, by Yitzhar, and he placed it in the hand of Odom, under his hand, that man should rule him. So this is why it states right after man was created, he was told, Kifshuha, conquer the land. Conquer the land from the depths of the sea to the heights of the heavens. And I give it all to you. The concept, the philosophy that man has the right to use the world, which, I mean, this is something that we take for granted, it would seem, that man has the right to use the world. That's not such a simple philosophy in the world. Once an ecologist that worked for the government told me that philosophy is what is known as the Judeo-Christian philosophy. And I asked her, it was a woman, I asked her, what do you mean? And she explained to me. Later on I saw in articles on ecology that man has the right to utilize the world. This they refer to as the Judeo-Christian philosophy of ecology. What does it mean? Because outside of the framework, Judeo-Christian is called Judeo-Christian because it's built on the Torah and the Bible. Christians take their philosophy from the Bible. And it's built on this pasuk. Urdu, go and conquer. That's not so simple in the world. Why? Because they're idolaters. They do not believe in this. Idolaters had worshipped the sea. They held the sea was a master. The sea was a creator. So how can you go and use the sea for your own purposes? And idolaters had worshipped fire. They held fire was a god. So how could you go use it for your own purposes? Now, this is not so far-reaching. It's still prevalent today. There are many nations that do not eat certain animals because they hold those animals are holy. They worship those animals. And if that is sacred, it's a god, so how can you eat it? Now, if you give a little further thought into it, it's a whole different philosophy. It's a whole different concept. The Jew, the son, is powerful. This we know. It has endless sources, endless forces of enormous energy. They say the sun is exploding millions of nuclear explosions every second. We respect the sun. But the sun is no more than a servant for a greater force. And that greater force, he gave us the sun to use. same thing with the fish, the same thing with the animals, the same thing with the sea, the same thing with the fire. Everything was put here for me by a greater force. But if you do not believe in the Almighty, so then who are the great forces of the world? The sun is a great force. The sea is a great force. They can become entities in their own. If they become entities in their own, then one has to worship them. One cannot utilize them. One cannot use them for their own good. And that's why this is referred to in the study of ecology as the judo, this is how they refer to it, as the Judo-Christian philosophy. That the world was given to man. This is a very important concept. Now, from here we understand what Achazal tells us. Achazal says a statement which many feel is a statement which is a very far-reaching statement. But from here we understand it very simply. The Chazal say a statement, Chayev Odom Lemar. Man is obligated to say, Shahakol Nivra Bishvili. The whole world was created for me. Chayev Odom Lemar, Shahakol Nivra Bishvili. That the whole world was created for me. Or shall I livra elam elam ishvili? What does this mean? This means exactly what we're saying. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not create the world for the fish. He did not create the world for the birds, nor for the animals, nor for the trees. He created everything for man. This is why man was created at the end. Second reason why man was created at the end, because he encompassed everything. And the world was given to him. It wasn't given to him to destroy, that's for sure. It was given to him to use. It was given to him to build. Peru, Ruvu, Milo, Esoritz. It was given to him to fill and to use. To use it for his purposes. In order that he could climb higher and serve the master of the universe. Therefore, a person is obligated to say, Shakol Nivra Bishvili. It was all created for me. It shows you the greatness of man. It shows you the greatness of life. It shows you how far we are. The world concept of life. The world concept of life is man you can destroy. You can destroy by the thousands, by the millions. A person can take his own life, whatever it is. The whole creation is made for man. That's why it states if you save one life, you have saved the world. Because the world was made for this life. Now there's much to speak on, in particular, in the creation of man, and what man is. In Yitz Hashem, next week, we will devote the shiur to that. But let me just conclude that we ask the question, what does it mean, Nasa Odom B'Tzalmeinu? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, we will make man in our image. So Rashi tells us, in the Sunai Sishla Kodesh Bohu Lom Admi Mikan. The fish or Odom Bedimian Amalochin, the Iskanuboy, the fish of Nimlach Behem. Man was very much like the Malochim now. Everything else that was created before was not. But man was like the angels. And Kodesh Bohu decided that since he's creating a man who's like an angel, he should first discuss it with the angels. Not that he was going to take the angels' opinions and abide by them. He was going to abide by his own opinions. But since I'm making someone who's going to be like an angel, the angels also should be brought into the early consultations. I should not just come with a fait accompli with a final decision. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Now why did he do this? So this is to teach us two things. Even Asusa Nusai, the humility, that man has that according, and also Malame der Cheretz. Shea Godel Nimlach, the natal Reshus Minakot. That the greater should discuss first with those who are under him, even though he does not need their authority or their permission, he should first discuss it with them. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nase Odom, let us make man in our image. And even though it was not such a good thing to do, Rashi points out to Chazal, because someone who wants to be an atheist, he can bring a proof from here that there's not one God, because it says, let us make. It's giving a opportunity for an atheist to bring a proof from the Torah against the one God of Hashem. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more interested in teaching this. What do we see from here? Now, this is the first time in the Torah, I believe, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us Derech Eretz, the land of Derech Eretz. We see the great importance of Derech Eretz in humility. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, who is the King of all kings, he also conducts himself with Derech Eretz. He didn't just plow in and say, I've taken a decision that I'm going to create man, either angels will get all upset, so let them get upset. Forget about it. And he plows in and he made man, and then later on they come and they're all upset, and he says, look, this is what I've decided, finished. No. Since he was going to make a man that would be a threat to the angels, they would be a threat because man is greater than the angels. It would be a threat to the angels. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that it's Derech Eretz, and it's humility to call in the angels first. He called in the angels and he called a meeting. And he told them the plans. And he heard what they had to say. And then he said what he wanted to say. And he discussed it and said why he wanted the creation of man and explained to them why he's having the creation of man. And then he went and created man. And it's interesting to note that when was the first Derech Eretz taught to the world? Right at the creation of man. Right at the beginning of creation of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him Derech Eretz. That Shehagodol should be Neitel Reshus Min HaKotem. That when you want to do something, even though you have the authority alone to do it, but the decision is going to involve others, you're supposed to consult with the others first. It's both Derech Eretz and in Venasus Nusai, it's humility. These are some of a few points that we learn from the fourth day, the fifth day, and the sixth day.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.